Hi, this is Erin, and we're talking about drug and alcohol addiction, whether it's in the workplace, about addiction in the workplace, about all kinds of things in terms of the way it causes us problems. We're also talking about the need to have more sane and balanced lives. And speaking of which, in terms of sane and balanced lives, what's this? I mean, Clear Channel, Fox News, they're all going gung-ho to cover these tea parties on Wednesday. So here's my suggestion. Let's all drink coffee on Wednesday. Nothing against tea. I happen to like it. As a matter of fact, I hate the way the coffee's made here, so I'm going to have to bring in my own coffee. So let's just have coffee, and let's talk turkey, because they're all going to be going, we don't want taxes, no tax. They're all manufacturing all this tax nonsense, too. It's going to, Obama's tax policies, by the way, we can sip our lattes and say, dandy, and put up our pinkies and say, dandy, fine. You all can go hysterical like you've been doing. But we know the tax policies will give the rest of us a tax cut. So you guys are jerks, as usual. Posting a question on Facebook page, which I did rather badly, about whether or not drugs and alcohols have invaded your workplace and what do you do about it. That's one of our running questions. Another one is, you know, how do you counteract all this tea? Now, see, the right-wing reactionaries, what they're doing is they're supporting a right-wing opinion by doing this. Fair and balanced, my left elbow. Chet in Boulder, welcome to AM 760 Colorado's Progressive Talk. Good morning. It's open line and open season.
Great to have you back in God's country.
Thank you. Happy to
be
here.
God's climatic calendar has been sort of out of order lately.
Well, and I'm not sure, is God really on our side, or are we Muslims or Jews, or are we Christians? I can't remember.
I think he's just got so much to do, he's confused now. So he throws a little winter and a little spring and a little summer, and just that's supposed to keep us busy and hopping, and we won't notice that he's kind of fallen down on the job lately.
Okay. It is going to be 65, though.
To hang on to the drunkenness thing for a moment,
yes.
And I call myself a former drunk rather than an alcoholic, and I'm not in recovery, because there is a difference. You know, my dad was alcoholic. I was a drunk. I just liked being drunk. And when it came time to quit, I was able to just quit. But, and the solution for me is I don't hear people mention or talk about. And I discovered it accidentally. My ex-wife sort of shoved me into a psychiatrist's office who can prescribe. And they decided I was bipolar at the age of nearly 40. And after 10 years of a stellar career in which I was drunk 8 hours a day on the job and no one ever called me on it, I was a functional drunk.
Yeah, there are a lot of them.
I was an editor at magazines and feature writer and humor writer, and was more prolific and more, I functioned at a higher level when I was pretty loaded than I did when I was straight. So people just kind of, they either turned their back or they just didn't notice. And, you know, I was never falling down drunk, but if you knew how much I drank every day, it was shocking. And then the last 10 years, that's
sort of went downhill. Hey, I didn't lose a job until I quit drinking. You know what I mean? Because I argued back and talked back.
I quit drinking, and I lost my marriage, my job, my career, my house, my mountain property. I lost everything when I sobered up.
But was it still worth it? Because it was, no matter what I lost, it was worth it.
I'm still alive. And
yeah.
I don't live at the level, you know, materially that I did for a while. But I feel a lot better. No hangovers. But I take a cocktail now. When they discovered I was bipolar and they put me on lithium, mm-hmm. I suddenly had no craving for alcohol. Mm-hmm. I could drink two or three drinks and then stop without trying to, which alcoholics have trouble doing. Once you drink, you want to keep drinking.
Yeah, that's how I know I'm an alcoholic. Because I always set out to drink two beers and I would end up, you know, having a fight with someone in a bar, three sheets to the wind.
That's how I discovered I was self-medicating. If I'd feel a little manic, I'd have a couple of drinks to get down.
And some people do self-medicate. I'm not denying that at all. That's real.
I was for sure. I absolutely was. I'd self-medicate both directions. If I'm nervous and manicky, I'd medicate to get down. If I was suicidal and depressed, I'd medicate to get up. And consequently, I was drunk all day. Because you're always doing one or the other.
I'm not laughing because
of
that. I'm just laughing the way you put it.
I don't mean to be making
light of
true.
Your dilemma.
I quit without realizing I quit. I just no longer got up in the morning wanting a drink. It was no longer an issue.
See, and I was too dishonest, I guess, to really realize that all I wanted was a drink. What I wanted to do was, I guess I just wanted to be altered. I just wasn't comfortable.
Me
you
too.
Know what I mean? And
I liked being high.
I just, you know, the problem was, Pot, I loved. And if I could still, you know, if pot didn't involve inhaling stuff into my lungs, which I know would make me want a cigarette immediately, and I never want to go back, despite an extra 5 pounds on my hips at any given moment, I do not want to go back to smoking cigarettes ever again.
That's harder to quit, you know.
So, but I have this deal with myself that if I want to, you know, eat peyote buttons and smoke pot or eat brownies when I'm 80, I can. But, you know, I just, to tell you the truth, Chet, I'm just better off clean and sober. That's how I function better. You know what? And even the pain, even when the pain of real life kicks me in the ass, I would much rather be alive this way than numb or drunk or high.
Yeah. And the quality of my friends improved notably when I sobered up.
Dramatically.
I go out for drinks with people that I worked with and had known for years. And I'd end up just watching them after I got medicated, after they put me on lithium.
Yeah.
I'd watch them and just think, good Lord, what, you know, was I like this? And if I was, why didn't somebody stop me when I was at work? Because these people are just losers.
No, you know,
and my friends now are quality friends.
Or still active, and that's part of the problem. Thank you very much, Chet. I appreciate your call.
Can I one more quick thing?
Sure. Sure.
The biggest drug problem we have, especially in this country right now, that people just don't talk about, they're just now catching on to it. A caller earlier mentioned it, prescription drugs.
Yep.
I take a cocktail now for bipolar and other disorders, including pain medication. Right. I have chronic pain syndrome. I've got some rods and pins and metal in my body and stuff. It's a constant battle. But when people find out what I take, including psychotropics for depression, clinical depression and stuff, and the names would be super familiar, but I don't want my name associated with them. People find out what I'm taking. They are all over me. They're bringing me presents, bringing me turkey dinners for Thanksgiving. They're my best friends.
See, and for you, and they're medically necessary. For them, they just want to get high.
Right. They want me to be an enabler, and they will treat you like a prince. And it takes a while to figure out you're not the greatest guy in the world.
Yeah, no thanks.
And as soon as they find out they're not getting anything from you, you never see them again.
Well, that's the other way to discover whether you have friends. You know, I've always learned who's my friend and who's necessarily isn't, and depending on what kind of job I have. Thank you very much for your call. It's 303-713-7600. Thank you for joining us. Though I have friends tried and true, and some of them are writing me on Facebook as we speak, who are with me through thick and thin, through disaster, through creative success, you know, and those are the people I want around me the rest of my life. 303-713-7600. I'm Aaron Hart, filling in for Jay Marvin. I think you said to go to Ron in Littleton, didn't you, Jay? John, if you did not, let me. Okay, Ron in Littleton, welcome, and thank you for joining us.
Hey, how you doing today, Aaron?
I am well, Ron.
I was going to talk about productivity, but the last caller brought out a thing with my late wife. She was a nurse practitioner with a big doctor's office down in Littleton.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times the doctor would prescribe certain drugs for people, and this prescription was supposed to last 3 or 4 weeks. They call up 3 days. I need a refill. The dog flushed it down the toilet accidentally, or the dog ate them or something. And, you know, people got wise to it, and they developed a network, especially doctors in the southern suburbs of Denver with some of the pharmacies and supermarkets that have pharmacies. Watch for these people. They're abusers.
Well, see, and I went through recovery in Denver, so I don't know about that side of it, but I'm really glad to hear that there are people who are finally waking up to this. I mean, you know, Rush Limbaugh is not the only person who's been addicted to Oxycontin. It is a very sick and scary drug. I'm so weird that now when I take a painkiller, I had surgery about 12 years ago, and when I had surgery, they gave me this drug for the pain, and I just projectile vomited. I can't keep them down anymore.
Well,
my body knows they're bad for me.
And the thing is, too, knowing how my wife worked, they used to come in every day, all these pharmacy representatives, and they used to have a sample thing, and they used to keep real tight inventory control on the samples. And the doctors used to say, try this to the patient without paying for it. And people used to come in and get mad because the doctors wouldn't give them samples.
Yeah, that's terrible.
But the thing is, I wanted to bring out about productivity. I worked for a big telecommunications firm in town before I retired about 4 years ago. And with there was all sorts of drug problems. And the company recognized it, and we had a solution. the company would pay for your treatment and let you off for a month without pay. And it was just two strikes and you were out. And you wouldn't believe the people who'd struck out after twice.
Wow. Well,
this
thanks
was,
for...
And you know what the company I need? Not, I mean, you use the same company to talk to on your telephone in Washington as you do here.
Thank
begins
you
with a big
calling.
Q.
All right, that's enough. Thanks, Ron. Thanks, Ron. I'm Erin Hart. This is AM 760 Colorado's Progressive Talk. We'll be right back with more. Oh, well, actually, we'll go to Steve in Denver first. Hi, Steve. Welcome. Hi, Steve.
Oh, what a sweetie for taking my call before the break.
Sure. Well, actually, John was the one. I usually obey John to go to traffic, but I'm going to obey him now to go to you.
Those last two callers, I think they're still caught up in it. That was my impression, you know. I was listening to the one guy talk about his friends coming around, you know. I just think that there's been a lot of depression in this country, and I know it's a poor excuse, but, you know, people look for some way to escape, and I think...
Well, I think part of the reason we need to escape is because we don't acknowledge our need to decompress, our need to have time off, our need to smell the roses and, dare I say it, the coffee and tea.
Well, you're right. And, you know, what's funny is I think that, you know, the drug culture, you know, whether it be booze or prescription drugs or whatever, is permeated all the way up to the top. And, you know, that these people that function in high positions, you know, whether it be in government or whatever, you know, and they're roaring addicts, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a laugh. They just did I heard a story where four of the big judges down in Mexico, they did blood testing, and they had cocaine in their blood, you know. Well,
wow.
I'm right with the group, so I think to myself, you know, it's hard to have a clear head.
It is hard, you know, but it's worth it. You know, I got to tell you something. But then again, see, I know that I was talking from inside the mind of an alcoholic and an addict, okay? So here's
right.
What I would do. I would wake up and I'd go, oh, my God, what did I do again? I don't remember half. No, you know, and when you have to walk out to your car to see if there's any blood on the bumper, you know you're in trouble.
Right.
You know, it sounds funny, and it is kind of funny in a way, but it's also very scary. And what you live in is with this internal voice going, I'm going to die. I'm crazy. There's something wrong. I'm going to be dead in a week. What's wrong with me? You know, and you can't figure it out either. And your family's yelling at you and you feel ashamed. And yet you keep doing it over and over again. What was somebody said? The walking definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over again, even if it hurts you.
Right.
Unless I stop, I'm right there. And I'm stopped and I'm glad. Thank you very much for your call.
Thank you.
I'm Erin Hart. This is AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. It's 9:20. I'm Erin Hart. I'm not recommending abstinence for everyone, but for me, it works, and it's worth it. 303-713-7600. I'm Erin Hart, filling in on the J. Marvin Show. More of your phone calls coming right up. And here's John Turk with the traffic.
I'm not like
hey, how you doing? I really want to hear from you, and I'm kind of quick on the air, so I just wrote a friend of mine a really short note that's going to drive her crazy, but she'll be back with me in just a sec. It's 303-713-7600. Thank you for joining us on AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. We're talking about the need for Americans, U.S. citizens, us. We're some of the most productive workers on Earth, but we're also some of the most stressed out, some of the most violent, some of the craziest on the planet. And we're also one of the most drug addicted and alcoholic. And part of that reason is, I think, is that we are in denial as a nation, A, about the scope of the problem of alcohol and drugs, which I think makes our prisons even larger, enlarged in capacity, but also because of the lives of quiet desperation that are led every single day in this country. And, you know, I think in general, whether or not you drink too much, smoke too much, or take too many pills, part of the problem is we don't acknowledge our need for fun, our need for play. The best suggestion I've heard all day is Nerf balls at work. I'd shoot one at John Turk right now. Oh, my God. Mark in Littleton, welcome to AM 760 Colorado's Progressive Talk. And he'd probably shoot one at me, too. Mark in Littleton, welcome to AM 760 Colorado's Progressive Talk. Because we love playing, man. Mark.
Good morning. Hey, I want to first start off saying I'm kind of in your camp with the – I actually have a pretty big hatred of drugs and alcohol. They're in during the 80s, I was I supported the Bolivian gross national product, but I never had a problem with alcohol.
Well, I don't hate them necessarily. I just hate what they did to me.
I hate what they've done to my friends and fam. I mean, I've been to a few funerals. I'm, you know, early
50s,
yeah. And I've been to too many funerals.
Yeah.
And, you know, I have no problem with pot, by the way. In fact, I strongly believe they should legalize it because what it would do to help. And you know, who's ever died from pot? But that being said, I wanted to get into something here real quickly today. There's all, you know, I've followed my wife's a recovering alcoholic, too, but she's been very successful with something called ant abuse. But that isn't really what I wanted to talk about either. But that's, you know, I have
ant abuse, by the way, will make you sick if you drink on top
right,
of it. Anyway,
right.
Go ahead.
Yeah, and you know, the recovery programs are great for some people, but it's, you know, the statistics are they're about equal to, you know, AA is about equal to just going cold turkey. And I think one of the problems with AA is they have problems with things like ant abuse. And the purpose of the call is to talk about something called baclofen. It's baclofen. It is a muscle relaxant for your back, but there's a Swiss surgeon, a very successful Swiss surgeon that was a horrible alcoholic, who's written a book he recently published called The Cure for My Addiction. The Cure for My Addiction. I can't remember his name. You guys could probably Google it right now and get that guy's name. And there's actually online a really great segment from Good Morning America with this guy. But it's fascinating. Now, I don't know anyone who's tried this yet because I've only learned about this about 2 months ago. I've got a very good friend who's a raging alcoholic, but I've been trying to get him to take this stuff, but he's currently in jail for a DUI. So, but I've been trying to get him to look into this because he's a very wealthy man, too, and, you know, he could easily get his doctors to handle this for him. But it's apparently like 80% of the people who take this have results that are successful, and the uniqueness of this is that people on it can actually have a social drink. He can go out and have one drink and then not have any more. He doesn't want to.
I'm
no
not sure I buy that a true alcoholic can socially drink,
well,
even with a muscle relaxer, because he's taking a muscle relaxer in order to do that. By definition, he's not clean and sober. So,
well, let me see.
There you go.
You're talking the AA.
No, I'm really not. I've seen a lot of people. There was a woman up here who touted, you know, responsible drinking and that you could learn how to drink and that it was all a matter of control. And if you had enough medication in terms of antidepressants and stuff, you'd be fine. Well, she's now serving time for a DUI, you know?
Sure.
So,
no, I don't believe in that either. But this guy, you know, you should check into this drug, baclofen, and what it does. And it doesn't get you high. I mean, it's not like...
muscle relaxers usually don't.
Yeah. But, you know, I just found it really fascinating. I think it's the most promising thing I've heard about to help with alcoholism in years.
Look, if something helps people quit being active alcoholics, I'm not necessarily against it. I'm just skeptical of people who say that they can socially drink. That's all I was saying, is that if it gets you off alcohol. See, my attitude is, and this is going to sound very weird to people, but even if I could drink, I'm not sure I would today. And the reason is, A, I've seen how puffy it makes you look, and I've seen how... You know, it's really, I'd rather eat. You know what I mean? I'd rather have a good steak than a martini. Do you know what I mean? That's me.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not an alcoholic and I don't drink. My last drink was at the Super Bowl party last drink.
Yeah, so I just don't know whether I would. You know what I mean? And I think part of it is because I've just learned how good life can be without it. So I don't really want to know what it's like to have it. Plus, it's gotten, both cigarettes and alcohol have gotten so expensive now. I have too much money that I'd rather invest in other things. Well, I don't have too much money, but I have money that I'd rather invest in other things. You know what I mean? I'd rather take vacations or go to a health spa or get a massage than have a drink.
Sure.
Well, okay. I'll look into baclofen, you said?
Baclofen, baclofen.
Okay.
For anyone, it's just another thing to look at if you're having issues with alcohol.
We're going to have to try lots of different solutions to these problems. And I'm not saying AA is the only way to work, certainly. I'm really not. I think it's an absolute, I do disagree. Now, here's one way, and thank you very much for your call. Here's one way I disagree with President Obama. Somebody asked him if marijuana use should be legalized, and he chuckled and said, "I don't think that's a good strategy to grow our economy." I do. Think of all the concomitant businesses that could come out of it. Hemp clothes, hemp blankets, hemp yarn, hemp whatever. Plus, medical marijuana, I don't think should be the only use for it. Look, I still don't want you driving on marijuana, though. I've known a number of potheads. And let me tell you something. Just because you're a pothead does not mean you can drive high on pot. Right, John? Never mind. It's because you're going to do the traffic was why I did that. Right? Yeah. 303-713-7600. I'm Aaron Hart, filling in on the J. Marvin Show. John's going to stand by with our traffic and
the light rail is really exciting when you're high on marijuana.
You think?
Just kidding.
I think it probably is. You wouldn't know, right?
I wouldn't know.
Wink, wink.
No, seriously.
Wink? No? Shh.
I think that alcohol is the worst of them all.
I do, too.
Way worse than marijuana. We had this conversation last week. Tom Tancredo's getting behind the legalization of marijuana and drugs.
You mean I'm going to have to agree with Newt Gingrich and Tom Tancredo
in one day? Yeah, you're going to have agreements with two of your probably most...
Within one 24-hour period, I'm agreeing with both people with cloven feet?
Yep.
That's impossible. All right, find out why I agree with Newt Gingrich. Now I know I have gone years and years without agreeing with Tom Tancredo about anything.
Check out his new fight. You might be interested.
Oh, my goodness gracious. I'm Aaron Hart. This is AM 760 Colorado's Progressive Talk. If he's got a good opinion, I'll go along with it. But good grief. Tom Tancredo, 303-713-7600.
He's a little guy, too. Did you know that?
Yes.
I'm taller than he is, and I'm little.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm probably taller than he is, too. 303-713-7600. It's 931. Whether that makes a difference, I don't know. But Tancredo does have those kinds of Bonapartian issues, I think. 931.
Exactly. That's what I was getting at.
Yeah, I know.
I don't, though.
You don't? Oh, no. Not ever.
I don't have the short man syndrome.
No.
No, of course not.
No, I'm Aaron
Hart. I bet my friends and wife would tell you differently.
It's not me, man. You're running my board. 303-713.
You can do that after 10.
7600. I'm Aaron Hart. Wednesday after 10.
Right.
I'm Aaron Hart on AM 760 Colorado's Progressive Talk. And here's the very funny John Turk. Bell County, man. In California, medical marijuana laws are moving pot into the mainstream. Pot, magic purple, strawberry cough may become offerings that are taxed and in dispensaries in California. Marijuana use is pretty widespread. According to the Washington Post, the government surveys show more than 100 million Americans have smoked pot or its resin, hashish, in their lifetimes. 25 million have done so in the past year. Polls show that the public is still wary of legalization, and even the president says, nope, I'm not sure it's a good strategy to grow our economy. But in California, it's such a booming growth industry that Betty Yee, chair of the California State Board of Equalization, has endorsed a bill to regulate the estimated $14 billion marijuana market, citing the state's budget problems. California currently collects $18 million in sales taxes from marijuana dispensaries. Regulated pot trade, Yee said, could bring in $1.3 billion with a B. Wow. That's a lot of joints, PJ and Conifer. Welcome to AM 760 Colorado's Progressive Talk.
How you doing, love? A lot of joints. Yeah, well, I wouldn't know anything about that.
No, me either. I'm not one of those 100 million Americans. Please.
Yeah. Well, I mean, to me, it was too weak. I actually had to find a white powder come from Colombia to be satisfied.
You know, that stuff never did much for me because I was so hyper. I'm sitting here with my leg bouncing right now, and it's like, excuse me, that stuff made me imagine. I'm hyper enough as it is already at 5 a.m. Can you imagine what I would be like on Bolivian marching powder?
Well, I actually found that alcohol is a more potent drug. Because what happens is with alcohol, I became egotistical, very selfish, self-centered, and I could walk on water. I could drive my car anywhere.
And you never thought people noticed you were drunk either, did you?
Absolutely. You know, I was absolutely invisible and invincible. But
I
don't even remember why I called now. this is kind of my subject. I actually took a lunch break and heard you talking about this, so I just thought I'd call.
Oh, thanks.
But, being a friend of Bill and Bob's.
Me too.
You know... Everybody's got their own opinion, and it's great.
Exactly.
But what's interesting is how what I come across is a lot of times you come across these people that say, oh, you know, drug addicts and alcoholics, what a bunch of losers. You know, I quit on alcohol and drugs myself. You know, and that's great. You know, that's fantastic. Good for them. You know, more power to you.
Dandy.
But
whatever.
Not everybody. not everybody is the same. You know, not everybody has the same brain chemistry and can do that type of thing. You know, if you can't go 60 days without drinking, you may have a problem.
Or if you can't drink one drink 30 days in a row, you may have a problem.
Right, right. If you cannot sit down and, because I definitely suffer from, how are you, little one? Sorry. how are you? Sorry about that. I have some people here.
That's okay.
I got to watch what I say. So if you cannot have one drink, you may suffer from an issue of addiction. You know, I cannot have one drink because what happens is I have this chemical reaction inside of me that says, well, I can have one. Oh, my ego kicks in.
Two's not
bad. I can handle two. Right, exactly.
Three'd be dandy.
And the problem is that alcohol weakens me to the point to where I think I can do anything, and then I end up going to purchasing a Colombian white powder.
Mm. Well, here's where I like to shorthand it. It's like I have no guard dogs. Once I take that into my system, I have no voice inside my head going, you might want to stop now. You know what
right.
I mean?
Right, absolutely.
I used all sorts of kinds of evasive techniques. I never, ever drank at work except once or twice. I never, you know what I mean? I always had these strict, rigid guidelines and rules, not realizing that the reason I needed those strict reasons and guidelines and rules was because I was sick and I was trying to build a fence around
sure.
my sickness.
Well, that's
you
the
know?
Thing. I was self-medicating without realizing I was
yeah.
self-medicating.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know, I was in a situation where I was making about $100,000 a year. I had 6 employees. My confidence, my ego was all high. But for some reason, I wasn't happy. And, you know, yeah. I could make a 6-pack literally last a week. And, you know, I could, you know, maybe, you know, smoke a little weed here and there, but it didn't really affect me. It wasn't nothing. But then all of a sudden I had all of this money and I felt like
it was
power. And then all of a sudden, next thing I know, I'm like, man, there's a void inside of me and I had to fill it with something. And the next thing I know, I'm locked in the bathroom and I can't get out of it, you know? And so I'm chasing shadows and hearing voices and I don't know what's going on. And if anybody out there knows anybody who is suffering from drug addiction, alcohol, there are, you know, for me, I had to come to a situation where I didn't have anywhere else to go. You know, I'm glad the pharmaceutical companies think that they have a problem. There's a book out there, you know, that you can buy.
Right.
If somebody wants to sell you something, their motivation is money. It's not necessarily to help anybody. You know, that's why I'm so sick of the pharmaceutical companies coming out with all of these drugs. Because absolutely, Oxycontin is such a huge issue because I've definitely tooted a couple of lines of that stuff.
You mean you crushed up the pills and snorted it?
Oh, yes, ma'am.
Yush.
I don't need to tell anybody. That I don't want to give any hints.
Oh, not that I haven't done
that. That's the way
no,
to do it. I mean,
in the depth
I mean,
of my craziness, I did, but I just didn't know about Oxycontin. But
yeah,
I understand.
Yeah.
Believe me, I understand.
Yeah. Popping that stuff is nothing. I mean, that doesn't do anything. I mean, a real addict will find the best way to get something into your system as fast as you can.
Oh, yeah.
As much as you can.
Oh, yeah.
And I
identify with that particular.
If somebody out there is suffering and can hear my voice right now, AA and CA and NA, there are 12-step programs that can help you. And there are, and it's not to say that that is the only way, because I know people who can't stand those programs. And,
me too.
But they've gotten sober from, you know, just going to church or finding other types of programs out there. There is help out there, and I want
look for it.
Yes, absolutely.
Don't live in
that misery.
Don't
give up on these people either. Don't give up on addicts. Don't give up on the alcoholic in your life, because they have something to give somebody. They can help somebody else
Listen,
who is suffering from that problem.
I will never forget. One woman called me on the radio once, and I was really pleased to hear from her. We went through we were in rehab in Denver together, and you know, she called me up and she goes, Aaron, I finally made it. It took me 27 times, but I'm here, you know,
oh,
or 22
I wish
times.
27.
I mean, 22, I know, but I mean,
took
she.
Me 10 years, 12
she,
years.
She did it, but you did it too. And we've all just been, I've been up this morning since, you know, 3 a.m. It's just, it's like Pacific time. And it's like, whenever you got up, you know, you've been clean and sober that long. And I don't take any of it for granted. I'm just.
Absolutely.
And I really hate to sound Pollyannish, but I did say the Serenity Prayer on the way to work this morning.
Oh, I do. I
along with a couple
I have
of others.
A chance. It's a chant.
Because you know what? It's my touchstone. It's my wellstone.
Yeah,
I don't apologize
absolutely.
To anybody for wanting it or needing it. No
absolutely.
Thanks.
And God is such a generic word for me, because, you know, it doesn't matter if you're a Muslim or a Christian or a Hindu or a Buddhist. You know, God to me is a generic word. It's just getting connected to a power of the universe, the creator. Mm-hmm. How can you give the creator of the universe barriers or, you know, human characteristics? The power of the universe is bigger than that.
Thank you very much for
your call. It's so much bigger. Yes, ma'am. I love you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Brandon, welcome to AM 760 Colorado's Progressive Talk. Good morning.
Hi there. How's it going?
I'm pretty swell. Thank you.
Hey,
and you?
I don't have much time because I'm actually on my way to my math class, but I wanted to talk about these tea party events.
Oh, yeah. What do you think about those? I'm going to have coffee.
I don't know, but apparently I saw this thing on Glenn Beck, an actor portraying Thomas Paine and spouting off, like, I don't know, stuff about taxation without representation.
Right.
I don't know. I'm going to find out tomorrow because they're having one up here in Cheyenne, so...
No, I'd be happy to have more about you. Basically, they're just whining and complaining and trying to give tax breaks back to the rich and tax the rest of us more.
Oh, yeah.
Is what I can figure out.
My neighbor's the one who's really into it, and he doesn't. I don't think he falls into the higher up tax brackets.
Well, see, that's the thing that always that's what always confuses me is Obama's programs really will give a tax break to 95% of the people who are paying too much tax right now.
Yeah.
So I really don't understand why all those people go, must follow right-wing reactionaries. They are, you know, I just don't understand it, because it's like when you read the fine print, dudes, you guys are getting hammered by these folks.
Right. All right, well, hey, I got to go, so I'll give you a call tomorrow, and I'll let your listeners know what I hear.
Please do. That'd be great, Brandon. Thank you.
All right.
Have a good math class. Bye.
Aaron.
I'm Aaron Hart. This is AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. What did you say, John? Please come aboard.
Yes. These tax parties got me in a tizzy, too.
Me in a tizzy, too.
Where were these people the last 8 years?
Because they were
most
they were
of them were getting wealthy.
Here's the thing. A lot of them were getting wealthy, but more of them were not. What they do is they've been conned by the right.
Right.
And what they believe is that everybody's going to make $1 billion. And the reality is, unless you do things illegally, it's very hard to make $1 billion. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I believe in the American dream. I believe in equal opportunity money making for everybody. I don't believe in a lot of tax. But the reality is we all have to pay some tax, including, you know what? The person who explains it best to me are people like Warren Buffett and Bill Gates. So go look around you. My people get to work on bridges, on highways. That's how I get people to work. Who builds that stuff? Is Bill Gates going to build that stuff? He's pretty generous but no, he's not going to build that stuff. So how do we build this, you know, the light rail you were talking about?
Well, then I think that a lot of these folks think that all this money is going into what they call social programs.
Not.
They don't want money going to help out, you know, the undocumented immigrants or people on welfare or the homeless or anything, I guess, that conservative Christians might actually, what the Bible preaches, but... You know, which is just it's so ironic.
Well, it's so disingenuous. I have never understood why they constantly are bamboozled in voting against, not for, but against their economic interests.
Right. What's the Matter with Kansas, I think, is the book that
it
really
is.
Goes over
Thomas,
all that. And that guy was asking about why are these people voting this way.
Thomas, I'm trying to think of his last name.
Interviewed
him. Frank. He's wonderful, and he's really great at explaining this. Maybe we should try to get him on to talk about these tea parties or somebody, because this is driving me crazy, and I think we should all symbolically drink coffee or Postum or something else.
I'll have a beer for you and everybody else.
Okay, thanks. You do that. I'm not going to have a beer.
I know you won't, but I will.
Okay, I'll have a cup of coffee instead.
I'm ready to pay some taxes.
It's a sacrifice for me, because the coffee here is burnt and vile. So but I will actually drink coffee instead, just for contrariness, damn it. It's 303-713-7600. Can I go to a break now, John?
I'm ready to go.
May I go to a break now?
Yeah, of course.
Thank you.
I'm ready.
I just thought I'd pretend to be obedient. It's 9:49.
Yeah, all right. Come on, don't.
I know. I'm teasing. Believe me. Trust me. John will tell you too. I'm teasing. It's 9:49. I'm Aaron Hart on AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. Although I always take his advice when it's good or I like it.
You don't like to be disagreed with, though.
I do. 9:49, I'm Aaron Hart. This is AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. We'll be right back. It's 303-713-7600. Join us. One of the reasons I like working with John Turk is he has some really fun taste in music. It's 303-713-7600. I'm filling in for Jay Marvin tomorrow and Wednesday at least as well. I would love to talk to you. Here's the other thought I'd like to leave you with on this Monday morning, which is this. I agreed with Tom Tancredo on the legalization of marijuana. And I agreed with Newt Gingrich yesterday when he blasted everyone who's been up in arms about the Obama first dog, or Beau, as he's known, because Michelle Obama's father was known as Diddley. And apparently they decided to name the dog Beau in deference to that. And I think that's great, because Beau Diddley, one of the great jazz musicians of all time, rhythm and blues of all time, and rock and rollers of all time. So Beau Diddley it is, and Beau is a great name for a Portuguese water dog. Now, I have walked Portuguese water dogs in New York, a hound. Specifically, I won't say his name, so not to embarrass him, but that dog used to run me into walls. That dog was like the hardest dog. So they can be pretty, shall we say, strenuous. But Ted Kennedy seems to like him, and he apparently gave the Obamas Beau. And you know what? Incredibly cute face, curly hair. And if I wanted a bigger dog like that, I would consider getting a Portuguese water dog because they're friendly, they're fun, and I like poodles too, which seems odd, but I do. They're smart. I like dogs that are smart as whips, so border collies, except that I'm kind of allergic to pet dander. So water dogs, poodles, and my dog, a silky terrier named Pedro, are the dogs that suit me. Now, let me just say, because when I was searching for Pedro, I drove one day 350 miles to look for a pound dog. And I found in all of those searching, 3 days I did it, I found two dogs, two Jack Russells and one really blind one-eyed dachshund. And the blind one-eyed dachshund was already 11 years old, and I wanted a dog to take into the nursing home to visit my mother. And the Jack Russells had been spoken for by 4 or 5 9-year-old kids ahead of me, so there was no way I was going to get them. And I was really, really jonesing for a dog. I really wanted a dog. I needed a dog because my mother was dying. I really wanted to take care of a being, and because I'd been taking care of my mother, but it was also terribly sad to watch her go into a nursing home. A mother who had been productive and active and a travel editor and writer. She worked for the Rocky Mountain News. She worked for several other papers. She was really whip smart, and she was declining because of a very debilitating illness that had gone on for years. So I got this dog named Pedro, and my life changed. And yes, I did buy him from a first-time breeder. I bought him from a woman here in rural Washington who was mating dogs for the first time. And, you know, she just they had such a cute litter of puppies. A friend of mine said, "This is the dog for you. I can feel it." So I called her up, and I went on this journey, and the dog's been with me ever since. And he's the best dog in the world for me. He's the kind of dog that makes everyone laugh and everyone smile. So should I have gotten a pound dog? Maybe. But I agree with Newt Gingrich. The Obama girls have a dog now. Leave it alone. They have a lovely, charming, sweet dog. And if the Washington Post wanted to cover it on the front page, I could not believe the hoopla about it over the weekend on the chat shows. Of course a dog is front page news in America. What we should worry about is when a cute family dog is not front page news in America. You know, yes, it's a presidential dog. That's why it's on the front page. But it shouldn't be relegated to A9 or A11 or B12. It should be right out there on the front page because dogs rule. And yes, I know cats are cool too, but I prefer dogs for this stage of my life and probably will forever after unless I find myself living on a farm again where I can have a cat door. But I love my dog. And dogs are the essence of life. Pedro, no matter what kind of a mood I'm in, I will open the door in a few minutes when I get home, and that dog will jump in the air and be happy as to see me and a lovely and fabulous inspiration again to keep living a life that is based on love and laughter rather than fear and ignorance. So that's my dog's rule. We'll talk about tea bags and tea bagging and tea whatevers coming up, teabagging parties. That's what we're going to call them, John. I'm Aaron Hart. This is AM 760 Colorado's Progressive Talk. And then with that bad girl comment, I'm out. I'm Aaron Hart on the J. Marvin Show.